After a handful of wintry blasts already this season, you might be thinking about making plans to get out of Wisconsin for a little while. Sure, you can head someplace warm in your travels, the Hawaiis, Floridas, Mexicos, but our guest says you might want to embrace other snowy, chilly destinations outside the United States and maybe pick up a good deal along the way. He also says some people are thinking about less desirable places like sites of famous natural disasters. Peter Greenberg is the travel editor for CBS News. He's also the producer and co-host of the public television series The Royal Tour. He's a graduate of UW-Madison. Peter, welcome back to Central Time.
Happy to be with you.
Well, you're joining us from a different time zone. I understand you're in Saudi Arabia right now. What's going on there?
Well, in Saudi Arabia, believe it or not, for the first time in the 89-year history of the kingdom, they've opened the doors. They are now granting visas to citizens of more than 49 countries. This has been a closed country for literally 89 years. So it's a brave new world here right now. This month alone, they've just granted the last week 55,000 visas, a great pent-up demand of people who want to come here to see a place that no one really has ever seen unless you're a religious pilgrim going to Mecca.
In your blog, you cited a recent survey from Wallet Hub showing that 1 in 3 Americans are not planning on traveling this winter to Saudi Arabia or anywhere. And the biggest reason they cite is cost. But you say for airfare, it's actually getting cheaper. Talk about that.
It is. Airfares are down across the board about 5 to 6% over this period of time last year. And that's caused by about three different factors. One, believe it or not, overseas, there's still confusion about Brexit. A lot of people aren't traveling within Europe. Second of all, which is great benefit for U.S. travelers, the power of the U.S. dollar overseas against not just the British pound and the euro, but about 12 different foreign currencies where our buying power just went up a multiple time. And then the third thing, another reason why people are not coming to the U.S., is the perception of the Trump administration's immigration policies. So you take those three things together, and it creates a perfect storm as a buyer's market for travelers, not just domestically, but especially overseas. And if you do comparison faring, you'll find that many destinations around the world are cheaper to get to than between Madison and San Francisco.
You also say if we do some careful shopping, we might be able to save money by buying a one-way ticket and then another one-way ticket. How does that work?
Well, you can thank JetBlue and Southwest Airlines for that. We all remember the time when you could only get a discount ticket if you booked a week in advance or 2 weeks in advance and stayed over that dreaded Saturday night. That was really designed to disrupt any kind of business travelers from getting a bargain who only wanted to travel midweek. However, when Southwest Airlines and JetBlue started introducing one-way fares, the other airlines had to match them. And in many routes, buying an individual one-way fare for each one of your trips is often a much better and economical way to go.
One pratfall I've heard about is if you do that, if you shop around and do that from two different airlines, you have to be really careful checking the luggage and baggage check guidelines.
Well, remember, you're not. Here's the thing. The airlines used to have much better interline arrangements where if you checked the bag on American and connected in Chicago with United, your bag would still show up in New York. But we're talking about point-to-point travel now. So if you're just doing a one-way trip from New York to Chicago or Chicago to L.A., it doesn't matter because the bag's only going in one direction. You're going to pick it up anyway. It only kicks in if you're connecting flights. So if you're going to try to buy two different one-way tickets on a flight that would normally just connect, that may not be the way to go. I'm talking about just one point-to-point trip that you would normally buy round trip versus what you just suggested.
Talking to Peter Greenberg, travel editor for CBS News. He's got a variety of travel advice for us for the season and beyond. You wrote about a travel idea. I didn't know this was a thing, Peter. Dark tourism. Instead of going to a fun-filled place, we go to some place where maybe a tragedy happened, a dark moment in human history. Why are people wanting to tour that kind of site?
Well, curiosity for one, a sense of history and context for another. And it's not just where tragedy occurred in terms of a conflict. It's also where maybe a natural disaster has occurred where you can actually go and participate in helping out. So this ranges from Chernobyl, which will immediately come to mind, to the Bahamas, which just suffered under Hurricane Dorian. And what people don't realize is that when you have a natural disaster like we saw in the Caribbean with Dorian, you have countries there that depend almost entirely on their economy being driven by travel and tourism. And if they don't have that, they don't have an economy. And if you take a look at the Bahamas, you're dealing with a couple of hundred islands, only three or four of which were adversely affected. But the perception by most travelers is, oh, the Bahamas is dead. It's not. You go to Nassau today, and you're helping them out, and you're going to have a great time in the process.
I see that with the Bahamas as a kind of a natural tourist destination anyway. But what about something like Chernobyl, which I don't think was ever at the top of people's travel lists? Why are people going to a place like that for a tour?
Because they want to see where history happened. Hmm. Now, they're not necessarily doing tours that I'm aware of to Fukushima in Japan right away because of three words, nuclear half-life. But I would suggest that if you take a look at where wars were fought, if you take a look at where those kind of terrible disasters happen, people want to be able to go look at it. Not because they're just curious and they want to be looky-loos, but they want to be able to put their own lives in context to see what other people went through, maybe to learn some lessons about what not to do in their current situation.
On a happier note, you recommend a stop for anybody traveling just about anywhere, the local library. Why is that?
I'm a huge fan of that. There are two places that I like to stop anytime I travel and I have some time. The very first place I stop might surprise you. It's the local fire station. You know why? Because the firefighters have been in every hotel. They've been in every they've been in every restaurant. They've been in every library to mention that, and they know where to go and they know where not to go. Now, having said that, that brings me up to the subject of libraries. Who knows better about a city than the people who read about it and the people who read in general? And the people who work at libraries are the best sources of information next to firefighters I can imagine. Plus, even though, you know, we all go with the traditional idea that you have to be quiet in a library, they actually like to have a conversation, and you can learn a lot.
We asked our listeners on the Ideas Network Facebook page where they like to travel. We heard from Vicky. Vicky says Prague is a wonderful place to go. Great restaurants, shops, the clock, and the square always has something going on. Prague, Peter?
I totally agree. You know, when you take a look at what got destroyed in World War II, Prague was not one of them. It was not bombed, and it was not destroyed, and much of the architecture, if not all of it, has been wonderfully preserved, and she's absolutely right.
And Sandy says the Rio Grande Valley, Texas, that is Sandy's plan this winter, so a warmer place in the winter. That sounds good after an early winter here in Wisconsin, Peter.
Actually, that's true, although the Rio Grande Valley in Texas in the winter does get cold at night. Don't kid yourself.
Okay, good to know. Now, Peter, whether we're traveling, you know, just to one town over or around the world, can you give us some tips on a good traveler mindset to really get the most out of our vacation, big or small?
Yes. Number one, nobody told you to pack every pair of shoes you've ever owned. this is not the time to overpack. And I'm not talking about just avoiding excess baggage charges. You don't want to schlep. You want to minimize it, but you want to pack an extra bag that's inside your bag in case you want to bring something back. That's number one. Number two, and this is even the most important mantra, is never take a no from somebody who's not empowered to give you a yes in the first place. The travel industry sadly is set up these days to only tell you no, to limit your options. And the very first person you get on the phone usually can only tell you no. And your job, if you choose to accept it as a Mission Impossible deal, is to find the supervisor, have a nice conversation with them, because they're the ones who are empowered to give you a yes. Now, if they tell you no, it's no. But my experience has always dictated to me that if you're nice and you're not adversarial and you explain your problem, they will participate with you in the solution because they do have the power to say yes.
Peter, as we wrap up, what is your next travel destination?
I'm actually flying tomorrow on one of the more ridiculous flight connections you can imagine. I'm flying from Riyadh in Saudi Arabia to Bogota in Colombia.
Wow.
Good luck.
That's a pretty long flight. And what's on your itinerary in Colombia?
Well, as you may know, and we've talked about this before on the station, I do a series of shows on PBS called The Royal Tour, where I go to individual heads of state, kings, presidents, or prime ministers, and I actually get them to give me the impossible. 6 days of their schedule completely free, and then my camera crew comes in, and they become my tour guide to the country. No holds barred. Think two guys on a road trip, just one of them happens to run the country. We've done it with everybody from the King of Jordan to Netanyahu to the President of Mexico, the Prime Minister of New Zealand. The most recent one that's on the air right now on public television is the Royal Tour of Poland with the Prime Minister. And I'm going down to have a meeting with the President of Colombia, who wants to do one, and we want to do one with him.
Peter, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You got it. Anytime.
Peter Greenberg is travel editor for CBS News and the producer and co-host of the public TV series The Royal Tour. We talked to him about international travel ideas during the winter months and some dark tourism destinations to consider. You can get more travel advice at his website. It's petergreenberg.com. And by the way, next Tuesday, we're going to talk about a related topic, etiquette for travelers on that crowded airplane, bus, train, you name it, car with your family if you want, we'll look at advice for travelers to have harmonious relationships with one another.